Doc, your team's 0-2 against the Rockets so far this season. How important is this game tonight, prepping for that road trip, 5 games in 7 days?
Well, it's important, but, you know, like I always say, if you win it, then the importance goes away. If you lose it, the importance goes away. You know, you want to win every game that you play. And they have beaten us, both times and the last two times, three times in the playoffs. So you want to beat them. You know, you got to knock that off you. Whether it's now or later, I'm good either way, but we have to do it at some point.
We're halfway there.
I don't think we're living on a prayer at all. I think we are doing great. Top 5 in the league basketball at the halfway point of the season. This is Halfway There Cast. I'm your host, Chris Wild. With me, as always, is the Jaguar.
Mike Jaglin.
We got a heck of a show. We've got, forget Burger King, this is the home of the Whopper, because today's show is a huge Whopper. We've got a game, obviously, tonight in Cleveland. I've got a scoop that you think is not true, so we're going to get into that. You talked to Sam Amico from Cleveland to preview tonight's game, and you guys, just a couple of hoop nerds yammering. You guys talk for a long time, Jack.
We had a powwow. I mean, Sam's really well-respected in the business. He works for Fox Sports Ohio. And
he travels with the team. We're going to see him when LeBron and his Cavaliers come to L.A.
If his wife allows him to the West Coast. That is one of the things.
She may not allow it.
No, she may not. She may not. But he was great.
You and he get into that later.
We get into that later. But it's a great perspective on where the Cavs are, where the Clippers and Cavs kind of exist in the landscape of the NBA. And it's just great for Clipper fans and people that, you know, don't get enough of the Cavs per ESPN.
Well, the Cavs won last night in Brooklyn. So tonight, Clippers at Cavs, second night of a back-to-back for the Cavs, first night of a back-to-back for the Clips, who then the next night have to go to Madison Square Garden and face the New York Knickerbockers.
And Porzingis, and Bed Lions, and Jerry Ferrara, and Michael Rapoport. I wish that was their starting lineup. I
mean, it might as well be the way they're playing of late, Jag. Come on.
I mean, they're not playing bad. They're not playing bad. Well, I
no,
mean,
they're better.
Yeah. I mean, they are playing better. But
you know who's really playing better is these Los Angeles Clippers. And the chips were stacked against us since we last cast, because DeAndre Jordan catches dunking pneumonia and misses 2 games. The Iron Man of the NBA, who played 360 games, misses 2 games. And we win one of them in Miami, which was awesome.
The Miami win was nice. I mean, especially the way that started off. I mean, we casted that night, and that was that started out pretty ugly.
It did. It really did. In that third quarter, the Clips at home at Staples, the middle hub of their homestand, put on a show. And I thought J.J. Red Hot Redick was playing great that night, but he put on a show at home versus Houston, getting his career-high 40 points. Career-high 9 3-pointers in a game. Clipper franchise tying record. Karan straw-chewing Butler has hit 9 before as a Clipper. I don't believe that was at Staples. Correct me if I'm wrong. But regardless, Red Hot Redick, who I think is the sleeved Samson, because like Samson, as long as Samson's hair grows long, he is stronger. As long as J.J. Redick's sleeved, tattooed sleeves continue to grow, he just continues to play better and better.
Hey, that thing's supposed to be done by the All-Star break. Why don't we start another sleeve on his other arm?
Over he has, it? Jack.
I mean,
he has started the other arm, Jack.
Good. Continue until the finals.
They call him the sleeved Samson, J.J. Red Hot Redick.
I mean, what a performance from this team. You know, with Big Blake out, the team has really found themselves from the three-point land. I mean, 22 threes, one shy of an NBA record.
Incredible.
I mean, and you have CP3 going 5-7 too.
Yeah.
I mean, and then other guys chipping in. I mean, and let's not again forget about CP3. He had 28 points in that game.
He was your Western Conference Player of the Week 2 weeks ago.
Yep, 12 assists, and you know, it's his 42nd game with at least 10 points, 10 assists, and 5 steals in 10 seasons. No other player has done that in more than 12. That's insane.
Yeah, like now, he's like literally, I mean, if he could just win a title, my friend, then all of a sudden you talk about Magic Johnson, you talk about Chris Paul.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, he is the best true point guard of this generation.
I just don't want him to be a John Stockton, Jag.
No. No, and that's what Blake and Chris are going to be if they don't win. They're going to be John Stockton and Karl Malone.
But Stockton and Malone got to the finals, Jack.
Twice. Yeah, and they ran into the Bulls each time.
Yeah.
But again, they went later in their careers. Let's not forget that.
Right.
I mean, they moseyed around for the playoffs for years, and it wasn't until later in their careers that they went to the finals. So,
you're right.
Chris Paul has been
silent but deadly. I don't know how he stays under the radar and puts up those kind of great numbers, but that's just kind of the guy he is. I mean, whenever we use Chris Paul sound bites, it's almost like he's laughing off every response to a reporter. And it's not like in a condescending way. It's just like that's the way he is. He just kind of like it's everything is no big deal to this guy. Although that being said, he's like the most competitive basketball player there is, and he plays with a huge Clipper chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, a lot of us, I think, you know, people in the media, people as fans, they don't understand. I think they take him for granted because he is just he's so consistent and so good at his job.
Right.
He's a two-way player, which there aren't many in this league that are actually two-way players.
Most of your great point guards are great at offense and lousy at defense.
Mm-hmm. Or they're more combo guards, you know?
Right.
And that's the thing. Chris, you know, is that...
Like Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook aren't true ones, Jack.
No, you're not going to look at Steph and Russ and think, okay, let's get everyone else involved. Chris gets everyone else involved, and then you look up at the scoreboard, and he's got a double-double. I mean, the guy is remarkable, and, you know, no doubt should be, you know, put on the All-Star team again.
The coaches will select him easily. But will the coaches select DeAndre Jordan or J.J. Redhot Redick?
I don't know. I mean, Sam Amico and I talked about J.J. Redick. DeAndre, you know, is really making a late surge. Again, his numbers are up, you know, points and rebounds since
Blake
went down.
He's your league leader in rebounding two seasons in a row, and right now he's second behind, what's his name,
Drummond.
Detroit, Andre Drummond, right?
Yeah, who missed, what, 27 free throws on Wednesday night?
There you go. And then look at JJ in this league that has gone, as Picasso will say later on the show, the league has changed into this three-point shooting analytic-obsessed league. Well, J.J. Red Hot Redick, the sleeved Samson, leads the league in three-pointers, Jack.
Yeah, he's shooting
50%. Send these guys, Jack.
50%.
Send these guys.
He's shooting 50% from three-point line.
It's sick.
It's amazing. And, you know, Chris said in his post-game press conference that, you know, he hasn't seen J.J. play like this in Duke, because that's the way he played when he was in Duke. He always played with a chip on his shoulder. But again, when J.J. came into this league, you know, he had things stacked against him. You know, most of his, you know, early part of his career, he was on the bench.
You know what's shocking, Jack? There was a time when they thought he might play in Europe.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. He wasn't a consistent starter until Doc Rivers gave him a shot.
You're right, Jack. You're absolutely right. He was not a starter in this league until Doc Rivers made him so in a Clippers uniform.
Donald Sterling didn't even want him on the team. I mean,
well, we got rid of him, Jag.
We got rid of him, and we got Ballmer. And
well, you know who we didn't get rid of is the man who, when he gets on the court off the bench, he's twice been the sixth man of the year, two different decades, two different teams, in his 20s and in his 30s, which is super impressive. When he gets on the court, it's like the court is his canvas, and he is an artist, and that's why we call him Picasso, and that's why we call this segment Paint a Picture with Picasso.
You've lost two against the Rockets this year. How important is it to get this W headed in this 5-7 road trip?
I think just losing last game, more importantly. We want to go on the road trip feeling good. Obviously, we put a long streak together, but I think that we can still, you know, raise our level of play and clean up some things, and I think we have another opportunity to do that tonight.
How has the game changed since you came into the league?
A lot of different ways. I think it was more physical when I first came in. Obviously, I think now it's a younger league as far as guys coming in. Before, I was part of the minority as one of the younger guys coming in, you know, but now it seems like everybody's young. I think the focus on three-pointers and analytics is more than it has been before.
Do you think the focus on three-pointers, too, has also opened up all these players getting triple-doubles and kind of opened up?
Oh, yes, opened up the floor for sure. The pace is quickened, I think, as far as that goes. You have bigs stepping out shooting. They used to be a rarity as well. They're shooting threes now, you know, and that's crazy to see. You know, guys like LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake stepping out. DJ hit one last year on a fluke, a humbug type play.
A three-pointer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's crazy.
Now, with that, like, how do you adjust your game? Do you just do what you do?
Yeah, I just do what I do. I feel like that's one of the good things about me is I'm able to adjust to pretty much any situation. So I just pretty much stay the same and ride the wave.
And now for you too, like we've talked about this, the bench is different this year. Yeah. You don't have to carry as much of the load.
Right.
That has to feel good though, right?
Yeah, it does. Obviously, it was an adjustment, but this is probably the first year where I haven't been like the assassin off the bench, so to speak. You know, it's more. You'll have it going sometimes. Sometimes you have to get it to Austin, sometimes to Pablo or Lance or Josh or whoever's out there with me, Wes. You know, so I think now it's more so just a field-by-field game than just every night you'd be that attacker.
And with having the stability with Pablo and Cole out there, basically playing more traditional in the second unit, it gives you and Austin more opportunities to just be you.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, because you get not many ball-handling duties by me anymore. You know, now I can just kind of attack and kind of feel my way through. Austin, the same thing, and then Cole's rolling every time, making plays. You know, that's the gift and the curse about having depth like that. You know, you have some talented guys, obviously, and Josh and Lance and Wes and all these guys. So we're just mixing the match and seeing what fits.
And how big is it going to be having Blake get back in there?
Oh, we can't wait. You know, we can't wait. Blake's so good and so talented. I think for us, you know, it'll be such an added addition that we're all excited about.
I love the two of you guys chatting together in the locker room pregame. Tell me about his sneakers, Jag, that he had, he wrote on his sneakers on the last home game.
Well, unfortunately, Clipper Nation lost someone that's been a huge supporter over the years. Scott Bui died last weekend.
One of Clipper Nation's greatest members, and he used to give away his season, seats. He'd give away individual games to people who didn't have, you know, the capabilities, didn't have the funds. Because, you know, watching an NBA game is expensive unless you know somebody. And Sam would give his tickets away to underprivileged kids and families and let them go to a big league Clippers game. And, you know, he did his part. Well, talk about doing your part as a member of Clipper Nation, because that's how I became a Clipper member of Clipper Nation. That's how you became a member of Clipper Nation, Jack, is seeing this team live and experiencing it with the fans. It happened for me back in 2001, A Space Odyssey, and I've literally never rooted for a team as hard as I rooted for the Clippers that night in 2001 with Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson and Corey Maggette and Elton Brand and Lamar Odom running and gunning and Eric Piakowski firing threes. I was rooting my face off like I'd never rooted for a team because I went there live and I saw the passion of Clips Nash, and it was palpable and it was intoxicating, and I've been hooked ever since. And we lost a great member of Clipper Nation, and so our hearts and our thoughts are with Sam and his family and all his friends, because we're all his friends because he was a member of the Nash.
And Ricky Chow, who is a big fan of ours and part of Clipper Nation, I was talking to him about him, and Mark Gennetto and Drew Ruiz reached out to Jamal and Brand Black regarding this. And if some of you have seen on Twitter, Jamal giving a tribute on some glue kicks of his to Scott. So, again, Clipper Nation, you know, prayers are with the Bui family. And Clipper Nation will always be there for it.
I mean, Picasso, talk about Picasso. Talk about Jamal Crawford. He's like, he's an artist. He's also a saint. He's like Saint Picasso.
He is. He's
the nicest guy in all of sports, Jack. Running out of the locker room. tracking us down to give us an interview because he felt like he didn't want to slight us because he knew we're the voice of the fans and he wanted to talk to us. Like, this is the guy, no professional athlete will run out of the locker room to track down a podcast. This guy goes above and beyond every night. And Sam, you know, we miss you, buddy. And let's win a title for Sam.
That's Scott.
Let's win a title for Scott. Sam is the interview I'm about to throw to. Excuse me.
Well, we're about to throw to Sam because we've got a big game against the Cavs.
Huge game. And my guy on the inside says Blake is playing tonight. And your guy says Blake
Dan
is Wilkie. Not playing tonight.
Dan, according to Dan Wilkie, he is out Thursday and Friday.
See, my guy on the inside says Blake's in. So I'm hoping that my guy knows what Wilkie doesn't.
Well, we'll know shortly.
We'll know in a few hours.
More than what's on his Netflix queue.
Exactly. I mean, talk to me real quick, Jack, before you get into it with Sam Amico. How does Blake, obviously, Blake is the number one choice on offense. What do you predict, Jack, when you look in your Jaguar crystal ball? Like, how does he gel with this new kind of team offense where JJ's, you know, going crazy, where the team is going crazy from deep? I mean, obviously, Blake is one of the most selfless guys on the court. And he's such a great team player. Like, what do you see, Jack?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think the ball's going to stop. You know, Blake's not a ball stopper.
He's one of your greatest passing bigs.
Yeah. And I think being able to be on the bench and see everything, because Blake's been going to the games.
Right.
Especially the ones in Staples. He knows what's going on. Blake's a really smart player. So he's going to open things up, you know, for JJ. He's going to open things up for Paul Pierce, for Wes Johnson, you know, and ride this wave. But again, I think it'll probably take Blake 3 to 5 games to get that feel back.
I'm excited to see Blake and Stone Cold Aldrich, the Toothless Wonder, on the court at the same time. I have a feeling I'm going to see that on this 5-game roadie.
I hope so. I hope so.
All right, let's toss it to Sam Amico, Cleveland's – is he Cleveland's Wilkie?
I mean, he works for Fox Sports Ohio.
So
and,
is he like
– has his own blog.
Is he Cleveland's Mike Smith? Is he Cleveland's –
Is he Cleveland's
Christina Pink?
He's like if Mike Smith and Dan Wilkie could have a baby.
About if Dan Wilkie and Christina Pink have a baby, Jack? Can we do it a little bit more old-fashioned?
We could do that. Let's just do that.
All right, let's go to him now.
Clipcast fans, we have a very, very special guest. We have NBA Insider for Fox Sports Ohio. He's also the co-host of Cavaliers in the Paint, and you can also check out his own site, Amico Hoops. Sam Amico, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for taking the time. Now, this is the first meeting between the Cavs and the Clippers this season. Now, not knowing if Blake Griffin's going to play, which it looks like he's not, is the key for the Cavs basically Kyrie outplaying Chris and shutting down Redick?
Well, those are two huge keys, obviously. We've seen how well the Clippers have done without Blake to this point, and that's because, obviously, a big reason for that is their big front court, or their backcourt has come up big, but obviously DeAndre Jordan too is a part of that conversation, and you have to worry about him if you're Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Kevin Love, you know, underneath the basket. So with the way the Clippers have been playing, yes, you have to find a way to contain that backcourt that's been playing so well. Obviously JJ Redick with a huge game on Martin Luther King Day. They've been playing even better. You know, it was the Clippers obviously struggling, not living up to expectations more or less at the beginning of the year, really seem to have found their stride lately. And, you know, the Cavs have to be clearly prepared for that because this isn't the Clippers team that was kind of finding its way at the beginning of the season.
Do you think that J.J. Redick deserves some All-Star consideration?
Well, I would say yes, except for the fact that you look already with that All-Star, you know, backcourt. And you're talking Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Tony Parker, James Harden. I'm sure Chris Paul, obviously. I mean, right there is five, okay? Now you have Damian Lillard. Is he not going to be in that game? Maybe not. But then right there, I just listed six people. It would be tough for J.J. to get in there. At the same time, he has, you know, this stretch recently has clearly played like an all-star type of player. Now, if you don't make the game, you know, that's not saying that you're not an all-star guy. It's just, this is one guy I forgot, Russell Westbrook, okay? This is a very stacked Western Conference when it comes to guards, but I think he's playing like an all-star worthy recently, but it's just going to be, as far as the actual game, it's going to be very difficult for him to get in there when you consider the guards I just made.
You've seen the Warriors and the Spurs against the Cavs this season. Can the Clippers contend with those two? I mean, or are they just on another level?
No, I think that there's no question that the Clippers can contend with them eventually. Look, nobody has won a championship in January. I've been doing this 20 years, and they've never once crowned a championship in January. You know, and we're talking about, you know, snow and cold weather and stuff here in Northeast Ohio, but the bottom line is when this season ends, no matter who's there at the end, we're going to be wearing T-shirts and shorts again. So, you know, it's a long way to go. We just got to about the midway point of the regular season. And I see, you know, a Clippers team, we've seen recently that they're among the league's elite when they're at their best, you know, and they've been close to their best. You ask them, I'm sure they'll say that they can still get better, which they can. But, you know, you're talking about a team that's going to get Blake Griffin back. Certainly, with the way they've been playing, they can beat either of those teams. But they've got to keep it together when it means the most, and that's April, May, and if you get that far, into June. But I have watched a few Clipper games here in Cleveland, and you're right. I saw the Warriors and the Spurs, and both of those teams, they're capable of burying you if you're not paying attention. We saw them against the Clippers, the Warriors earlier this season, overcoming that huge deficit. They can do that. But I think the Clippers are in a better spot, and when they're in their best spot, frankly, they have the talent and the coaching with Doc Rivers to frankly beat anybody.
Now, didn't you last season or the year before, right before the postseason, predict the Clippers to win it?
Well, yes, I did, and that's the kiss of death. I think I predicted the Rockets to get to the finals this year, and we all see how that's going so far. But a couple seasons ago, picked the Clippers, and you know what? It wouldn't stop me if they are in the conversation. I know that it's hard to believe that, you know, at this point, a lot of people outside of LA aren't looking at them as a true team to win the finals. But I think they're in the conversation, and I think they can put themselves in a more serious role in that conversation within the second half of the season and after the All-Star break. People will probably, if they continue this road, are going to consider them a serious title contender.
Switching to the Cavs a little bit, are people starting to get really critical of Kevin Love?
So, yeah, and you know, it's not all warranted. In that sense, there are a number of things going on with Kevin Love, and it's up to the coaching staff. Some of it's on Kevin Love. I'm not trying to say that it's not, but it's not all on Kevin Love. Some of it's on the coaching staff, David Blatt and his staff. Some of it's on the other stars, LeBron James and Kyrie. They have to find a way to get him involved offensively on a regular basis and make him part of that. Otherwise, they don't have a big three. They have a big two. Mm-hmm. You know, and you need that third piece of the puzzle if you're going to win a championship. That's why you went out and got the guy. You know, and now part of it's on Kevin Love, not being aggressive enough. He has to be more aggressive. Part of it is on everybody else around him, that they have to help him a little bit and make sure that he gets the ball and make sure he gets it in position to score. You know, since Kyrie Irving, when it was just LeBron James and Kevin Love at the beginning of the year, Kevin Love was averaging 17 points a game. Since Kyrie Irving's come back, it's down to 11. And wow. You know, it can work. We saw it last year at the end of the regular season. Those three closed out the regular season 31-3. You know, it can work. But right now, they've got a ways to go to get that to work again, and they've got to get it figured out, because I'll tell you what, if they don't get that figured out, the Cavaliers, frankly, are going to have a new coach next season. They really will. They have to find a way to get Kevin Love involved, or their championship hopes are done.
Now, getting back to the coach, you have your head assistant coach, actually coach under Doc Rivers in Boston and for the Clippers, Tyronn Lue. Is he a guy that could step into this role if things get bad?
Well, yeah. To answer your question, he's certainly more than capable of being a head coach at the league. Now, I don't think there's any chance, unless the things just spiraled out of control where the Cavs lost like 14 of 16 or, you know, and things were just bad and there was finger pointing, that David Blatt loses his job during the regular season. I just don't think that's a possibility. I don't think it's going to get that point where it would have to be a consideration. So during the regular season, no, he's not going to be on the hot seat. When he would be on the hot seat would be after the season. Did they not get Kevin Love more involved? Did they fall apart a little bit again? Or did they fall apart when it means the most in May and June, if they get that far? Those are the times that you consider the coaching change. Right now they wouldn't do. And if they did and it didn't work out, I'm guessing that Ty Lue would be their next head coach. It's just right now, you know, it's too early to make any sort of determination on who should be coaching that team. But right now, I mean, David Blatt is your man. And I mean, frankly, they've won 28 of their first 39. Nobody's going to fire the head coach over that. And I don't think David Blatt is even should be mentioned at this point of a guy who's on the hot seat. But at the end of the season, that's when you consider that and consider that a real possibility if things don't go as planned.
Now, last season, the Cavs brought in a lot of key pieces mid-season. Will they do that this year? Will they tinker with it a little bit?
There's a potential there to tinker with it. There's not going to be any big splashy moves like they made last year. They just don't have the flexibility that they have. But they could potentially tinker with it a little bit. And frankly, I don't think they need to. You know, they mm-hmm. think that they have the pieces in place to take the next step. They really do. And I would agree with them. Talent-wise, that's not the issue. They have talent. They have depth. And frankly, right now, I think that they have the coaching too, but they have to find a way to, number one, keep running your stuff. And I've noticed that about the Clippers lately. They're not playing any hero ball. They're not going one-on-one when things don't work out. They continue to run their offense and run their stuff and play like they've been playing. And that can lead to success and continuity and trusting, you know, the path and the offense and the coaching staff. And I think the Cavs do that. They just don't do it. They haven't been doing it consistently for 48 minutes a game. They might do it for 30 minutes a game, but they just haven't been doing it for the entire game. And it's easy to get out of. You know, when you have a guy like LeBron James, he's going to say, hey, you know what? Things are not going well while we're running the offense. I'm taking over. And what superstar hasn't said or done that from time to time? They need to stick with it and stick with the offense and stick with the ball movement. I think that that's more important than saying going out and get another guy. I don't think that's the solution. Because if you have another guy, guess what? You're still going to get into these bad habits. It doesn't matter who's out there. So that's something that they, more than tinkering with the roster, which they could do just a little bit here and there, I think that they're more inclined to say, hey, we have the talent. Let's get it right.
And that's the thing. I feel like that you're bringing up a really valid point, because that's the one thing I get on the Clippers about is their execution. in their consistency and their ball movement and player movement. And you look at the Spurs and the Warriors, they do that consistently, you know. And right. I think that's one of the things that you want to be able to dictate style, not have the style of the other team dictate you. And right. I think that's what both teams have to kind of focus on going forward.
Yes. Well, look, everybody in the NBA is a really good player, right? So what's going to separate you? What's going to separate the good from great? What's going to do that? It is your approach to the game, your dedication to, you know, not just the offense, but your dedication to playing aggressively and playing hard for all 48 minutes and sticking with, yes, part of it is sticking with the game plan. And obviously you have to have talent, but, you know, you have to have the mentality. You have to develop a winning championship mentality because it's not going to just happen for you with talent alone. And that's, we've seen that with the Cavaliers. We've seen it from time to time with the Clippers. You know, we look at teams like the Warriors and the Spurs, which right now they're the two, you know, the two main teams, and throw the Thunder in there as another team that's challenging. What do they have? They have continuity. They have guys who say, you know what, we're going to go down, we're going to go out, we're going to play our brand of basketball, and we're going to dare you to stop us. And if you stop us, we're going to dare you to stop us for all 48 minutes, because frankly, we don't think you can. And that's really, that mentality is the difference between winning championships and teams that are just good.
The question for you, LeBron is LeBron. You get to see the, you know, one of the greatest basketball players night after night. We have, you know, Blake Griffin, who's still at a young age. Do you feel he's underappreciated in this league and people don't, you know, kind of respect how good and what exactly he brings?
Well, I think he's underappreciated. I think part of the reason for that is this is a team that hasn't made the finals. And that is, and look, that's not necessarily totally the fault of the Clippers. They've been stuck in the Western Conference with the Spurs and now the Warriors for years. But at the same time, I think that, yes, he's an underappreciated guy. And part of that is, you know, you look at the Thunder, okay? Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, been in the championship series. James Harden with the Rockets, been in the finals with the Thunder. You know, also a leading scorer. I do think, to me, Blake Griffin, I don't notice him much until I watch him play. If I'm, you know, if I'm not watching him play and just following the stats or looking at the highlights, then I'm like, yeah, he's really good. You see him play a whole game, and it's like, wow, that guy is something else. But nationally, is he not appreciated as much as he should be? Probably. And a big reason for that is that team has not made it to the finals and been on the biggest stage. He has not played on the biggest stage where you always get more attention and more appreciation.
Now, looking at all the Clippers additions in the offseason, you know, they brought in Lance, they brought in Josh Smith, they brought in Cole Aldridge, Wes Johnson, Pablo Prigioni, actually brought in, like, I believe, 9 guys total. So it's taken time to adjust for this team and get their rotations down. What are they missing at this point, kind of personnel-wise, do you think?
Well, again, to me it seems like it's a little bit of continuity, more than personnel. And you know, when you bring in so many of those guys, it's an adjustment for the coaching staff. They're not superstar players. They're not Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. But you have to find a way to use them. And, you know, we've seen that, well, maybe Josh Smith and Lance Stephenson aren't worth using at this point. You know, and I think that it's not really – you have your guys. You have – to me, you have 4 really – big guys on that team, and obviously Blake Griffin and Chris Paul, but now throw J.J. Redick and DeAndre Jordan in there. You know, there's 4 guys right there that you know are going to do the brunt of your work, okay? But what you need to do is figure out, obviously, Jamal Crawford, fantastic guy off the bench. You need to figure out how you're going to use all these other pieces and parts around those 4 main guys. And you know, staff, when you have to bring in or when you do bring in the players that you mentioned, well, you got to figure out how to make that work. And Doc Rivers deserves some time at the beginning of the year to adjust to those new faces and have putting them in the lineup, and the other players around them deserve some time to adjust to those new faces. You know, and now all of a sudden it looks like we're starting to pull it together with these new pieces and parts that we've added around our big three, big four. It's really big two, I would say big two with A and B. But, you know, they're figuring it out just now. I don't know that you have to go out and get anybody else. I think at this point, you know, unless it's a dynamite move, just work with what you have, because all of a sudden now it's starting to work pretty well, and you're going to add a player here shortly again in Blake Griffin, who's pretty good.
We like to call it the core four. The core four is what we call it. That's what
that's
we call it in those four. And that's the thing, is that, you know, we thought, you know, either that was going to be Lance or Wes Johnson, and then Luke Bamute has done a great job filling in. And the defense for the Clippers has gotten so much better. But have you heard any rumors? Is there anything out there, or do you think, you know, we're just going to have to wait it out and see?
Well, yeah, Markieff Morris sounds like his name is attached to everybody these days somehow. The Suns, they're obviously, if they don't trade him, it won't be for a lack of try. You know, now I don't know that the Clippers are in on those conversations. I bet that they're listening and maybe saying, hey, what would you want for this guy? As every team is doing their due diligence on guys who they're hearing are available. You know, the Kevin Martins of the world. I think, again, like if the Clippers were to do anything, it would be just a small tinkering here or there. If, you know, can you unload Lance Stephenson or Josh Smith? They'll probably have a difficult time doing that. You know, but again, you know, historically you look at the NBA and the teams that have had success are teams that have kept guys like their core four together, even through the tough times. You know, even through the second round losses, you know, and you have to go historically in the league. Nobody goes from, you know, last place to winning the championship. It just doesn't work that way. You have to go through things, and we know what the Clippers went through last year in the Western Conference playoffs, a difficult, you know, second round elimination. Sometimes you need those things, and you have to stay together. I think that you need to keep your main guys together. And you know, when you do make those changes, you make them small. Because sometimes, hey, the Golden State Warriors, look at what they went through in the playoffs all the way up until last year when they finally won it. You know, they went through a lot and got bounced in the second round. They went through a lot of playoff disappointments. And what did they do, though? They kept their guys together. We heard before the Cavs made the move, Klay Thompson, you know, trading Klay Thompson to the Timberwolves in a deal for Kevin Love, and they didn't do that. They stuck with their guys and didn't make a big splashy move and let their guys develop and play together and stay together, and that is sometimes all you need. And I think, you know, more than not having Kevin Love or Kyrie Irving is why the Warriors beat the Cavs in the finals last year, because the Warriors had continuity. Mm-hmm. They had been through the wars, and that Cavaliers team, it was their first year, really, as a program. They had to get through that. So sometimes that continuity, and we look at the San Antonio Spurs, a perfect example of that, obviously adding LaMarcus Aldridge. But even up until that point, it was continuity, it was repetition, it was knowing what to expect from the guys around.
It's funny that you say that, because the Clippers have beaten the two last NBA champions the previous two seasons. You know, they knocked off the Warriors in the first round. And then, and it was funny because last year a lot of people thought that could be the Clippers' year. And then the Warriors take the jump, and then they knock off the Spurs last year. So, I mean, they have the ability to do it.
No, they sure do. They sure do. They have, and we've seen that lately. And, you know what, when you build, I remember, the funny thing was, I remember that, who doesn't remember the Clippers, you know, game earlier this season against the Warriors when they're up, what, I don't know, was it 23 points?
Mm-hmm.
They're up by a lot.
That was their second meeting. Yeah, they blew two, multiple, right. I think 10-digit leads in the fourth quarter against them this year. in the first game they did it, I know for sure, and they were up by 23 in that second game.
Right. Well, when they were up 23, I was the Cavaliers had a game that night, and they had it on TV. While it was after their game, and it was the Clippers had a huge lead, and I was just happened to be standing there right next to J.R. Smith, and I said, "Wow, look at that!" And he turned to me and he said, "Well, at that point the Warriors were still unbeaten, but they had to lose sometime." Well, sure enough, I went out and went to the media area and wrote my story, and at that point, by the time that was done, the Warriors had completed the comeback and the win, and I'm walking back down the hallway to leave, and out of the locker room comes J.R. Smith, and he looked at me and he said, the Clippers are a fantastic team, but at some point, they got to pull it together and get mentally tougher. So J.R. Smith was sitting there watching that too and noticed that, and now I would say that loss may have helped the Clippers a little bit. It may have gotten them to the point where it's like, we've got to remain focused for the whole time, not just against the Warriors of the world, but especially against the Warriors of the world, but also against, these other teams, the Pelicans, the Timberwolves, those teams that aren't, looked at as, world beaters. If you've got to get sharp against those teams to beat the teams like the Warriors and the Spurs, and maybe that game helped them out a little bit.
Well, you bring up a great point, because I think that is one of the biggest knocks on this Clippers team, is that they have a tendency to melt down and give up these leads. I mean, we saw it against OKC in the playoffs 2 years ago. We saw the 3-1 debacle. And then this season, they've given up a couple, most importantly to the Warriors. The other night, give up a lead late to the Rockets, but were able to hold on and win it in OT. It's something that they have to conquer if they want to take that step.
Well, yeah, that's again, that goes back to what I was saying earlier about having the, how bad you want it. When are you ready to dig deep? And part of that is holding leads. It's putting teams away, and that's a big part of being a champion. Because, again, it goes back to the whole theory, and you hear it from coaches and players, and it's so cliche, but it is so true, of playing all 48 minutes. You have to do it. And if not all 48, a good 42 of them, and you've got to develop that mentality. And you look at the Warriors and what they're doing. Well, what do we say about the Warriors? They're never out of it because they never stop playing. And they can bury, as we saw in Cleveland. They can bury, and they did the same thing in Indiana. Everybody was kind of like, the Pacers are a team that could, when they were still on the 24-0 start, people were saying, the Pacers are a team that could give them trouble at Indiana. And they went in there and they buried it. And it's because, again, of their mentality of, we're going to play all 48 minutes. We're not going to stop until that final buzzer sounds. Spurs the same way, and really those are the only two teams I can see that in on a regular basis, where they're going out there and it's, this game is not ending until that final buzzer sounds, and we're going to get you right from the start. So, do the Clippers need that a little bit more? Probably. Who doesn't? But, you develop that mentality as the Clippers. You've got the talent. Same thing with the Cavaliers. You have the talent. How are you going to utilize it, and how are you going to approach every game? Are you going to approach it like champions, or are you going to approach it like, well, we've got a bunch of good guys, we should win? There's a difference.
Well, Sam, thank you so much. I mean, this has been unbelievable. Are you coming out here when we see the next matchup, which hopefully, will be right around the corner from the playoffs? Are you coming out to LA for that?
It's gotten to the point where my job allows me to dictate that, and I will say that I'll be real honest with you. It's really up to management, which in my household is my wife. So I will check with her, and if she gives me the go ahead, then yeah, I'll come out. If she has other things planned for me, then I won't. But I certainly leave it up to management, as I tell everybody. It's always up to management whether or not.
Sam, we're in the same league with that too. I'm under the same league. We have the same at the same council. But because that matchup, I think, will tell us more about these two teams. I believe it's about a month and a half down the line, because we'll have Blake back. We'll see post All-Star break where these two teams are, and it'll give you an excuse to get to LA.
That's right. And at that time of the year, I've had enough of the Ohio winter, and I would love to. But you're exactly right. I mean, we see and talk about a lot of stuff now, and there are some important moments now, but as the year goes on, particularly after the All-Star break, is really where, you know, we see more about who's going to be the winners and maybe some disappointments this season. Is really after that, after the All-Star break, the February 18th trading deadline, going into the playoffs.
Amicable Amico from Cleveland, who fills up at Amico stations. I like the interview, and what I learned from it is basically the NBA season starts after All-Star break, and you gotta play a full 48. You can't just show up in the fourth quarter, right, Jack?
Yeah, I mean, we found that out the other night with the Rockets. We found that out with the Warriors a couple times this season. That is the key with this team.
That Rockets game was crazy, right? I mean, we just outplayed them the entire 48 minutes, and somehow Houston squeaks back into that game.
Those last 4 minutes again. You take your, you know, you put off the gas, and next thing you know, the rocket ship's right next to you. And you fouled the wrong guy at the wrong time.
At the wrong time. Marcus Thornton was a monster.
Oh, he was. You know, he was. And that's how Marcus Thornton has stayed in this league. He's an unconscious shooter. Again, it was, here we go again.
Now, Jack,
and
that loss versus Sacramento at home, which would have been number 11. And I'm very happy to say that we've won 11 out of 12. That's nothing to shake a stick at. We're down DeAndre. We're down Blake. We're down our bigs. You know, Boogie Cousins always plays big against us. They've got a bunch of great players. Rudy Gay is there. What's his name? Rondo is there. We win that if Chris Paul isn't getting into foul trouble, right?
I mean, yes, but I mean, you have to remember, not having DeAndre in that game allowed these guys to drive and kick.
Right.
I think that was the main problem the Clippers had in that game, was if it was Gay, if it was Rondo, if it was Bellinelli, whoever it was able to throw it out. And I think in the first half, like, the Kings shot like 67% from three-point land.
But at the end, we were right in it, and we just kept like being just right in it, down five, down six, down three, down four. Like, we were just right there. And if Paul doesn't get into early foul trouble, I don't see us in that hole, Jag. But again, you're without your two bigs, and Cole played admirably and continues to play admirably. Maybe I'll call him the Admiral. But when you play against such a big-centric team like Sacramento, and you don't have your bigs, it's like going up against Detroit without those bigs. You know, you'd rather go against a small team when your bigs are out than obviously a big team.
Yeah, I mean, back to earlier in the show, I was saying free throws by Andre Drummond. It was actually 36 free throws. He made 13 of them on Wednesday night. But Boogie Cousins is arguably the best all-around center in the league. I mean,
do you think Coach K takes him to the Olympics, Jack?
I do not know. I mean, that's going to be a huge one.
Because if I'm Coach K, I want DeAndre as my center as opposed to Boogie, just because what a great teammate he is and how vocal he is on defense, and guys like, he's so likable.
DeAndre doesn't play the international game, though. That's the problem.
What do you mean? He can pull him off the rim. He loves to pull him off the rim.
Yeah, well, he plays that part of the international game, but he's not a big that can shoot.
And I thought you meant Boogie, he doesn't smoke cigarettes and drink coffee at halftime. That's the international European style.
What, the Vlade Divac 1991?
Yeah, FIFA ball.
Yeah, no, I think it's highly unlikely that DJ makes a team. But, I mean, that's one of our questions that actually comes up in a little bit. But the guy that was filling in for DJ, I had a chance to talk to him, and I asked him about the tooth this time.
Oh, my God. We finally find out. The truth hurts. The tooth hurts. Let's hear from Jaguar and Stone Cold.
How was it filling in for the big man?
It was good. You know, obviously a little disappointing last game because we couldn't get the win, but, you know, we really fought hard and, you know, going to go in tonight's game and just, you know, do whatever we can to get a win.
Playing a team like the Rockets, they've won two against you guys this season. Possible first-round matchup could be important down the line, right?
Definitely could be. You know, for us to get back on our feet right before we hit the road is going to be big for us. And just got to come out and execute and continue to do what we do well.
And what do you – a W is – it's not necessary, but it's wanted before you go on this road trip. I mean, 5-7.
Yeah. Yeah, we know. We have a long road trip coming up, and it would be good to get a win and, you know, kind of get back on our feet.
Question for you. How did you lose your tooth? I don't know that story.
College. Got an elbow. Sophomore year. And I lost it, and had a mouth guard in. Just got hit good and extracted it, and here I am about 7-8 years later.
And how often do you keep the fake tooth in then?
It's in, it's out. There's no rhyme or reason to it. It just kind of happens.
It's kind of the feel of the game.
Yeah.
And the cut you got above the eye, that was during a game, right?
Yeah, that was against the Pelicans last week.
Okay.
So.
Literally, you could go play for the Kings right now. You know that?
I could. Everybody asked me if I've had any hockey background growing up, but never had. Never played hockey in Minnesota. Just always basketball.
I mean, literally, the way the Staples Center's games are set up, a 12:30 Kings game and the new guys, you could do your own doubleheader.
Yeah, I could. You don't want to see me on skates, though.
No, it's bad. Tragic?
I've been on skates in 10, 15 years. It wouldn't be very good.
Now, last thing for you. Just defense is the key for these guys, your team going forward, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, we've had some really good defensive games over our 10-game streak that, you know, kept us going. And, you know, we just got to get back to it, and, you know, I know that we will.
So it's an old college injury, and basically it seems like he's just playing psychological mind games, taking his tooth out, looking like a crazy jack-o'-lantern out there during NBA games, Jack.
Well, I mean, I brought it up to him. He could, for those Staples Center doubleheader nights, you know, play for the Kings in the morning and play for the Clippers in the afternoon or in the evening. I brought that up to him. I'd love to
can
see him
skate?
Do it
can
one
he
day.
Can he skate, Jack?
Yeah, no, he can't skate. He said he can't. I mean, it's not.
But he
turn
could
into
put
a,
the tooth in. I mean, the tooth in. He could be playing all with full teeth, but he doesn't.
I know.
That's awesome, Jack.
He's a walking Halloween costume, isn't he? I mean, geez. Besides the guy that fills in nicely off the bench and for DeAndre Jordan.
Every time I see him on the court at Staples Center, I'm worried I left the garage door open.
I know. We both should.
All right, so talk to me, Jag. You know, I gave up social media for the new year, so I haven't been on the social media in 2016. We're about 3 weeks deep into my weird New Year's resolution. Did we have any Twitter questions? You know, I don't know. I don't follow Twitter. I'm not on Twitter.
First off, we have Whammy, okay?
Is it a question Whammy, or is it like Whammy analytics?
It's a one of two. Let's just put it that way.
I got to be honest. Like, the one thing I miss from social media is Whammy. Like, everything else, take it or leave it.
Well, according to Whammy, the Clippers have been 10-1 without Blake. However, the Clippers are 0-2 when Griffin is ejected from the game this season. Why is it that the Clippers can do well when a player is out to injury, but not when a player is thrown out of a game? Ooh, Whammy.
That's a pretty good question. Whammy.
Yeah, good question.
You know what's funny, too, is I remember that last game that Blake got kicked out of, and we were down by a ton, and it was a catalyst for us to actually get back into the game.
Well, in that, you know, my entire point, it's the momentum of a game,
right?
Too. It usually he gets ejected when things are going south.
Sure.
So, it's hard to jump back out of that hole, especially when things are going. Especially in that Suns game. That one, that's the one that really stuck out to me. That things were not going well in that game, and then once he was gone, it was just game over. And Brandon Knight and Bledsoe were playing out of their mind.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get kind of an appetizer when someone's out, but you're adjusting your entire game plan when they're out for a duration of time.
For sure.
And I think, too, having Blake out last season kind of helped, you know, the other three of the core four adapt easier and get people in different places.
Well, also, I mean, Blake is such a focal point of the offense and the defense, and plays and walkthroughs and everything centers around this guy when he is on the roster. So when he's ejected, all of a sudden everything you've practiced is thrown out the window. Whereas when he's injured and he's not there, you're not prepping for Blake Griffin.
No, you're not. And also you're reacting more when a player gets ejected. You know, you might get an initial, you know, surge, you know, because that player's been kicked out.
Like, hey, can we not say surge on the show? Like we don't say the L word. Can we also not say the surge word? Because I'm also pretty anti Ibaka.
Well, that's fine. We'll surge away from that. Let's say
thrive or something.
Yeah, pulse. Thrive. That's better.
Power pulse. Sounds like a video game.
So, we've got another question from Edmondo Carino.
Great, I got another answer.
And this is another, we're going to have a few of these. Will getting Rudy Gay even help? Another small forward forcing Luke Mabute to the bench, maybe hurting chemistry of bench and starters. So, basically, we have like four of these questions pertaining to Rudy Gay, because there is a rumor out there that the Clippers are somehow linked to possibly trying to get Rudy Gay from the Kings. But
Jack, talk to me. What would it be, Lance and Josh for Rudy?
And probably picks. But again, I don't see Sacramento giving them away. I think that they could get something more, unless they just want him off the books. And I do think it would be an upgrade for the Clippers. Don't get me wrong, but I don't see Sacramento doing that. They're going to battle for that 8th seed, and don't be shocked if they get that 8th seed.
Sacramento's got a lot of great players. Like when they beat us, I was reminded, oh my God, they've got a ton. Rajon Rondo, Rudy Gay,
Caspi,
DeMarcus Cousins.
Caspi killed us. Bellinelli.
Bellinelli, you there know, we go.
Good old Darren Collison.
There you go. DC, Darren Collison. I knew there was somebody I was forgetting. And then they've got a great coach.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that they're going to I don't think you're going to pull the plug on Rudy Gay.
No.
I seriously don't. So, I mean,
but here's the thing, Jack. Josh Smith and Lance Stephenson are on the block.
I mean, they were shadow boxing during the last game.
I can say that with authority.
Yeah.
They're on the block, and there's a reason why you're hearing this trade rumor, and it's probably not started from some Twitter junkie with, you know, hyperactive thumbs. Lance and Josh are on the block, and the Clips are shopping those guys. And Lance and Josh for Rudy Gay would be an incredible trade in a good way for the Clippers. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's like, why does Sacramento do that? Rudy Gay is too good to let go.
And he's worried about the chemistry of the team, too, if you brought in a Rudy Gay. But here's the thing. That's a problem that you'd like to have.
Right.
I love you know, Luke. This team's been phenomenal since he's been inserted to the starting lineup.
Yes.
But let's not forget, again, we're not getting any offensive production from the three.
And on offense, we're playing 4-on-5.
Yeah, exactly. And that's and
it's a testament to how good our offense was, but how much better would our offense be if we were playing 5-on-5?
It would be phenomenal.
Right.
You know, but, you know, if Rudy Gay, if that deal happened, great. If not, you know, this team as is, there's a lot to build off of, and we're starting to see that.
I would be I would be dancing in the streets if Rudy Gay put on a Clippers uniform in the next couple weeks, Jack.
You would get on the freeway and you'll pick him up.
I'd get back on the Jumbotron like that blonde girl with the bangs doing the booty shake.
Exactly.
Her name is Marissa, by the way. I met her at a party, and she's a talent manager. Who saw that coming?
Well, imagine that.
She actually has a pretty good roster of clients, Jack.
Yeah, I'm going to take you to a game. I mean, geez, this is a little more than I thought.
Yeah, you get more than you bargain for when you go to a game with Marissa. Okay, you got any more Twitter questions, or should I go to this Wesley Johnson interview? More.
Out of Blake, BJ, CP, and CP and Blake, out of those three, who will make the cut on the Olympics?
Out of Blake, Deej, and CP, who will make the cut? Obviously, Blake and CP are going to the Olympic team. Like, Coach K is no dummy. Coach K has said that Blake Griffin is the greatest athlete he's ever seen.
Well, I agree with you. I think those two go.
I think Coach K actually goes for DeAndre, personally. Because he's got to just pick a center, right?
You think he's going to go
Anthony Davis as a center?
Yeah. You'll go with Anthony Davis.
But why not go Anthony Davis as a four and have Deej be a five and have the chemistry of the big three of L.A. be the big three of Team USA? I mean, chemistry-wise, it's a no-brainer.
He could go to Draymond Green, too. I mean, that's the thing. Draymond Green's having an unbelievable season.
I mean, if I'm Coach K, first of all, it's the toughest decision. You have 30 of the greatest athletes in the entire world of any sport. Just so happens they all play basketball. The top 30 guys, and you have to pick 12?
Yep.
Oh, whoa. Blake and Chris, definitely. DeAndre, if I'm Coach K, I go for DeAndre, and I selfishly also go for Anthony Davis. I hate Draymond Green. I would have to take my own personal hatred out of it and probably suit him up. It's going to be crazy to see Steph Curry and Blake Griffin and Chris Paul on the same team together. I always loved rooting for Kobe on Team USA because it's something I so rarely did.
And well, they played the All-Star game together last year. You have to remember, all of them played together in the All-Star game. All four of them. Klay Thompson was in the All-Star game.
If I'm Coach K, I take Paul George, LeBron James, and the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm. No, it's going to be interesting.
Isn't Klay Thompson on the top 30?
Yep.
Scratch
so
him.
So was Harrison Barnes.
Scratch
so
him.
Andre
so it's really Iguodala. Only 28.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane. It really is.
All right, let's go to this Wesley Johnson interview and come back for more Twitter.
I got one more question because Clipper Nation probably doesn't know this. This is a good one. And then we'll go to Wes Johnson. We're giving you everything you want tonight.
It's a huge show. We're on hour 20. We haven't even talked about really the fact that we're halfway through the season. Anyway.
Yes, and we're going on a road trip. Okay, this is from Talado55. Why did Ballmer sell 4% of the team? What do we know about this new minority owner?
Is it Conan O'Brien, Jack?
Dennis Wong. Now, that would be great. Conan O'Brien. Andy Richter somehow sits next to DJ Dance.
I'm telling you, Ballmer and Conan are like a red-hot Hollywood bromance. Ballmer gave Conan's entire family his four courtside seats, and then Conan's wife and daughter took off, and who knows where they went, had some spa day, and then it was Conan's kid and Ballmer. It was Balco.
Wow.
They are the new hot Hollywood bromance. That's the power couple of friendship, Balco. And you remember Ballmer unleashed the new logo on Conan, on Team Coco.
Yes, he did. The night before the big unveiling, he showed it to the world.
I'm not Team Coco, but I am Team Balco. A little side note, my late night talk show on Comedy Central, my director, his name was Alan. He'd never directed late night comedy. He went from my show to Conan and then directed Conan for like 14 years, directed the Tonight Show.
Wow.
All right, so the question is, what do we know about the 4% minority? Look, I mean, here's what I know about Ballmer. He wants to make his money back. This is not some like rich guy having fun with his money. This is a long-term investment for this man.
Well, in this case, though, he gave a 4% stake to someone he went to Harvard with, a San Francisco-based real estate investor by the name of Dennis Wong. So,
now, did he, what, as like a handshake agreement? I'm sure there was money exchanged hands, no?
Oh, well, it's 4%.
There you go.
Yeah.
The guy's making his money back, Jack.
He's making it back to sell it to his buddies.
And also, Steve Ballmer needs money to build a brand new stadium for the Clippers whenever the Staples lease ends up.
That would be beautiful.
That will be beautiful, Jag. If I say it enough, it'll happen.
Now, I had a chance to talk to one of our most consistent bench players this season and someone that's filled in the starting lineup before Luke got going. One thing people don't know, Wes Johnson has been battling plantar fasciitis. So, you know, if he doesn't look 100%, it's probably because of that. And I was able to talk to him about that and, you know, about knocking down that three.
How are you feeling with your plantar fasciitis?
Fine. It's all right. I mean, it's something that lingers around. Just try to stay on top of it. For the most part, it's fine.
What do you do, like, treatment-wise?
Everything from massaging to ice bath to pretty much everything you can think of as far as treatment-wise, I do for what I'm trying to do.
Has it held you back at all on the floor?
I don't think it has. I'm just trying not to really think about it when I'm out there playing. It's really it's afterwards. That's when I really feel it the most.
You have to feel really confident the way this team's been playing over this course of these games. The bench seems like it's solidified. How's that turned the table?
It's good. It's a great feeling. It's really just, we still got a long way to go. We're just really just trying to take it game by game. We know what the blueprint is as far as how we want to play. We just got to continue just to go out there and just play hard and really just trust one another.
And having these injuries, it's great knowing to have the depth you have, right?
Definitely. I mean, we're just holding on the fort till all the guys come back. It's tough to lose people, but we have been playing great as of late. Just got to continue until everybody comes back.
And you're going to keep on doing what you're doing, hitting the threes and playing the D, yeah?
No, exactly. Whatever I need to do, help team with.
Right side corner three, that's where your money is.
That's where it's at.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Wes.
First of all, I don't even know how to say his injury, plantar fasciitis or whatever the heck it is. The guy has actually been playing phenomenally well for having this injury and being in what you could call an injury-plagued mild slump.
Yeah, I mean, Wes has been phenomenal. You know,
he added to those 22 crazy record-breaking, Clipper-breaking, record-breaking threes.
Yep, and this is the winningest team he's ever been a part of.
Right.
And again, this guy's a top 10 pick, you know, in the draft when he went out, and he's just never really found his home. And as bad as those Laker teams he was on the last 2 years were, he was kind of able to find his niche. And
the good news is he could get acclimated to the city, but he didn't necessarily get acclimated to winning. But now he knows L.A. So he gets to get on the winning side of the hallway. And now it's like, you know, the sky's the limit for this kid.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's funny that two of the biggest acquisitions outside of Paul Pierce were Wes Johnson and Cole Aldridge.
Yeah.
And both of them are on minimum contracts.
Right.
So, I mean, what's going to happen in the offseason? You got to make some decisions if you're going to be able to pay one or both of them. So that'll.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that contract stuff, because looking at the first half of the season, it's crazy. If I could break the first half into two halves, you know, the second quarter, if you will, was fantastic for the Clippers.
Yeah, and, you know, like Sam Amico was talking about earlier, you know, you bring in all these moving parts, new pieces to the puzzle.
Takes time.
It's going to take a while. Yeah.
And hats off to GM Doc, who people really wanted to, like, throw eggs at and throw vegetables and rotten tomatoes at. And I always stuck up for the guy. And people would say, oh, he's a great coach, but he's a lousy GM. I completely disagree. First of all, he's not the GM. Second of all, front office Doc is doing great things for this team. The depth of this team is phenomenal. And the guy's always hungry. He's always making moves. Look at this Rudy Gay rumor that's out there. The guy's not satisfied ever.
No.
He is so consistent because basically, he's been with us now 2.5 seasons, and the halfway point of every season has been basically one game off, you know? So what are we right now? We're 27-14. Well, last season we were 27-14. Season before that we were 28-13.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I think the biggest criticism of Doc this season has been Doc the coach didn't trust Doc the GM's moves.
Right.
And I feel that there was some complacency on using Lance and Josh at certain times. We found out that using Josh at the five wasn't going to work.
Right.
And ever since he made that adjustment, things have got better. It's going to be just interesting to see, you know, what happens with Lance and Josh. You know, Josh did a good job a couple games ago, especially, you know, after that Miami game, coming in and playing as a professional.
Absolutely.
So what will happen? You know, will they make a move? Will they not? Or will they find a way to implement these guys into the system?
Well, here's the thing. If they don't make a move, then obviously these guys get implemented into the system. And if you're not seeing them get big minutes, it's because they're on the block. I mean, that's just common sense.
But can you honestly rise someone's stock if they're not playing? I mean, what are you going to say? You know, you can't just, you know.
Yeah, but, like, you're not going to play them and get huge minutes out of them and then trade them. I mean, like, Jamal Crawford has always been, like, this weird trade threat, but at the same time, he never went anywhere. I don't think they were ever really serious unless they could get a fantastic option for him, because he was always a fantastic option for the Clippers. Whereas Lance and Josh have great resumes already. Yeah, obviously Lance had a rough season in Charlotte last season, but he was a stud in Indiana, and you can see tape on him being a stud, and Josh Smith is a stud, fact. So those two guys have high stock value.
And Lance is an expiring contract. Let's not forget that.
Right.
You have the team option at the end of this season to figure out if you want to keep them or not.
I think they're on the trade block. If they can get somebody for them, then they will. If they can't and the trade deadline comes and they're still on the roster, then I see them getting bigger minutes quicker.
Yeah, or being part of certain units, you know, because, I always thought Lance Stevenson would come in handy guarding, you know, the Westbrooks, the Currys, and the Thompsons of the world in the West.
For sure.
So
I'm exhausted, Jag.
I am too.
It was a lot of show.
We got a lot. I mean, it's a ton. But we've got to do predictions. Our next cast is going to be right after this 5 games in 7 days.
It's so crazy, Jag, that the next time we podcast, the next time we clipcast in 1 week's time, we'll have played 5 road games. That's nutty to me.
It is.
Now, the last 5-game road trip, I can't remember. What was our record? I'm just curious. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Was it 5-0?
There you go. 5-0 on the road, last 5-game roadie. Now, obviously, the competition is a bit more spiked with Cleveland and Indiana.
And Toronto.
And Toronto.
Toronto has won 6 in a row.
That's right. I don't know that they will have by the time we face them. So first off, tonight at Cleveland, tomorrow at New York City under the bright lights of Madison Square Garden.
Then to Toronto on Sunday.
That's right. And then another back-to-back.
Yep. And another back-to-back.
Tuesday and Wednesday, which is, I know Indiana's in there. Who's the other squad we go against?
Atlanta.
What's first, Atlanta or Indiana?
First is Indiana.
Ugh, brutal.
Yeah. I think if they go 3-2, it's a win.
For sure.
Because
absolutely.
I just hope they go 3-2 on this. Because if we look at the standings, Chris, there's starting to be a little distance between
4-5.
The Clips and the Thunder and 4-5.
Yep.
So you want any chance to stay in striking distance, because, again, they play the Thunder 3 more times.
You know what's crazy, Jag, is that San Antonio is closer to Golden State than we are to OKC.
I know. It really is.
Yeah.
But, again, that could also shift the mindset of this team.
Sure.
You know, heading in the stretch.
I want to make a big prediction, obviously, for the 5-game roadie. I think we're going to go 4-1 because we are gelling. We've won 11 out of the last 12. I want to take it back, though, to something I was saying earlier. The first half of the season, we've played very well. We've played very consistent under Mr. Doc Rivers. We're basically exactly where we were last year, and we're one game worse than we were 2 years ago. But our second quarter is stronger than it's ever been. Under Coach Doc, and if we can get our second half of the season, if we can play third and fourth quarter of the second half like we played the second half of the first half, the second quarter, then we're going to do the best we've ever played under Doc Rivers. And I think that happens with the win tonight in Cleveland. I think in New York we can easily beat the Knicks. I think Toronto is a tough place for us to go up and play, but we've got this 3-point shooting arsenal that we've never had before, so that'll help us compete in Toronto. I wish Atlanta was first and then Indiana for some reason. I don't know why, because we always kind of misstep in Atlanta, so I'm worried that we're going to miss one of these, but I really need a W tonight in Cleveland and tomorrow in New York, because you can't win them all unless you win the first of the road trip, and you can't win them all unless you win that first back-to-back of the road trip.
Chris, I'd love to sit here and tell you they're going to win in Cleveland, they're going to win in New York, they're going to win in Toronto, they're going to win in Indiana, and they're going to win in Atlanta. But honestly, if they go 3-2 again,
it's a win.
That'll be huge, huge.
It'd be much bigger to go 4-1 or 5-0, Jack.
Oh yeah, but I just don't think it's realistic.
I want to say I looked at the schedule and we've got like 9. Road, we got 12 games before the All-Star break, 9 on the road, and 3 at home.
It's crazy.
That's a dirty dozen that we really need to get out of, like 8-4, 9-3, 10-2, 11-1, 12-0. We need to command that dirty dozen because 9-3, and we've been a very good road team, Jack. One of the best in the league.
No, and that's the thing. They go on this road trip. Which again, they're one of the best in the league.
When the hell are the Grammys, for God's sake? I thought the Grammy
they're
trip was like a crazy 7-game road trip over
Grammy
2 weeks.
Trip. Everyone is calling it the Grammy trip. It's not the Grammy trip. The Grammy
it's not the
trip.
Grammy trip. I feel like the Grammys are at the Nokia Theater this year or something.
I don't know. I don't know if they are or not. But you're right. They have 3 straight home games, and they go back on the road before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
So this is going to be really interesting to see where we are.
It's going to be a crazy week. It's going to be a great week because there's a lot of games. That's crazy, Jack. 7 days and 5 games? That's crazy. I'm going to be dizzy.
A lot's going to change. A lot's going to happen. But I'll tell you one thing. We're always going to be there.
We're not going anywhere, Jack. All right, well, can we sound the horn yet? My God, I'm exhausted.
Yes, we can.
Did you know I did this entire clipcast from a rocking chair? Did you know that, Jack?
Did you?
Yes. So if you amazing. Thought maybe this clipcast rocked more than usual, there's your culprit right there.
Awesome.
All right, sound the horn on that terrible joke. But it's true. A lot of the worst jokes come from truth.
Hey, Jamal, do you have a couple seconds?
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you so much, Jamal. You're the best. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.